This will be the final message from Shimon Kefa. And this comes from his third chapter of his first book. So let's start off with a question for you. Have you ever been persecuted for your beliefs about Adonai Yeshua? I've been told if you haven't been persecuted or been discriminated against, there's something about your walk which isn't right. Now, how true that statement is debatable. However, it is fair to say we all who have committed ourselves to that walk of faith in Yahweh Adonai Yeshua will be persecuted at some point in our lives. Case in point. The Alberta Human Rights Commission, the HRC, rules against a Christian pastor, Stephen Boyson, for publishing an article in the Red Deer Advocate newspaper wherein he criticized the goals of the homosexual political movement. The HRC orders the pastor to publicly apologize for his comments and also threatens that if he does not apologize, it will use its power to ban news outlets from publishing any further letters to the editor by Boyson. In a similar case, a Canadian Human Rights Commission mediator clarifies for Ron Gray, the leader of the Christian Heritage Party, our assumption of free speech is an American concept and is not applicable in Canada. Regularly, those who speak out against homosexual indoctrination in Canadian society are being taken to the CHRC and are being threatened with fines and even the intimidation of jail time if they continue to speak out. These are fairly recent developments in Canada, and they are spreading. So, beloved, if you do speak out against homosexual indoctrination by any level of government in Canada, the chances are very good you will be persecuted. Avinu B'Shamayim, our Father in Heaven, there is no doubt about the work of the adversary growing in every aspect of Canadian society and around the world. If any of us listening to this message today as yet not received persecution for our faith, take heart, it will happen. Help us, we pray, to have the courage and the strength to withstand such persecution and to accept whatever is done to us with the grace afforded us by our beloved Moshiach, Adonai Yeshua, in whose name we pray. All over the world, millions of believers are being harmed, many killed, because they have refused to recant their commitment to Yahweh and Adonai Yeshua. No more horrific is this phenomenon than in Syria, where thousands of believers are being evicted from their homes by ISIL, and many of the men forced to convert to Islam or become beheaded. I know the topic of persecution is hard to hear, particularly in a country where we pride ourselves in the right to speak out against iniquity and tyranny. However, those days are quickly being replaced by a tyrannical regime of thought police, who, with the sanction of both provincial and federal human rights commissions, are attacking those who speak out against others who violate the life instructions of Yahweh Adonai Yeshua. How are we to act when persecution comes into our lives? First, as I shared with you, we know we will face this ancient scourge of the adversary, and this has been the norm for thousands of years. For example, around 610 BCE, the prophet Jeremiah received the following message from Yahweh, as we read in Jeremiah 26. Stand in the courtyard of Adonai's house and speak to the people from all the cities of Yehuda, Say everything I order you to say to them, and don't leave out a word. Maybe they will listen, and each of them turn from his evil way. Then I will be able to relent from the disaster I intend to bring on them because of how evil their deeds are. So tell them that this is what Adonai says. If you will not pay attention to me and live according to my Torah, which I have given you, and listen to what my servants, the prophets, whom I sent to you say, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city an object of cursing for all the nations of the earth. How did the leaders of the day react to Jeremiah's speaking Yahweh's words? Let's read from verses 7 to 9. The Kohanim, the prophets, and all the people heard Jeremiahu speaking these words in the house of Adonai. When Jeremiah had finished saying everything Adonai had ordered him to say to all the people, the Kohanim, prophets, and all the people seized him, shouting, "You will die for this. Why have you prophesied in the name of Adonai? This house will become like Shiloh, and this city will become uninhabited ruins." The people all crowded in on Jeremiahu in Adonai's house. Jeremiah didn't die that day, but this was fairly typical of the treatment he received throughout his tenure as a prophet of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. The prophet Amos was assassinated for telling the people of Israel they would be attacked by Assyria, and when it happened, Amos was blamed. In the first century, acts of persecution were regular. When the disciples of Adonai Yeshua spoke out against the apostasy of the people, for example, both Kepha and Yochanan were apprehended by the temple police when they spoke on the steps of the temple. We read of this in Acts 4, verses 1 to 3. Kepha and Yochanan were still speaking to the people when the Kohanim, the captain in charge of the temple police, and the Tzaddikim came upon them. Very annoyed that they were teaching the people the doctrine of resurrection from the dead and offering Yeshua as proof. The temple police arrested them, and since it was already evening, they put them in custody overnight. During their trial, they spoke out boldly for their faith. They were taken to the Sanhedrin, mainly run by the Sadducees, those of the ruling party who did not believe in the resurrection. Listen to just a small portion of their witness, which we find in Acts 4, verses 11 and 12. "This Yeshua is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by whom we must be saved." Shimon Kepha, filled with Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living Elohim, often spoke out against the hypocrisy of the ruling class, and for this was persecuted often. Persecution was so rampant during this time, he wrote to his flock in the diaspora to encourage and support them when they were persecuted. Here is just a portion of his message as we read in 1 Peter 3, verses 13 to 16. "For who will hurt you if you become zealots for what is good? But even if you do suffer for being righteous, you are blessed. Moreover, don't fear what they fear or be disturbed, but treat the Messiah as holy, as Lord in your hearts, while remaining always ready to give a reasoned answer to anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you, yet with humility and fear, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are spoken against, those who abuse the good behavior flowing from your union with the Messiah may be put to shame." How are we to interpret these remarks? It's not often we hear the word zealot in reference to following Yahweh's life instructions. The word itself is quite revealing. It means filled with zeal or passion. A zealot for Yahweh, then, is somebody filled with passion for doing the right thing for Almighty God. Who will harm us if we do that? But others will, and if we are subjected to persecution for doing what is right in the eyes of Yahweh, we will be blessed. The most common response to persecution is either retaliation, flight, or fight. Remember, though, persecution comes because people feel either threatened, vulnerable, or intimidated by our messages. Shimon Kefa urges us to be steady in Aronai Yeshua's love, ready to answer others' accusations with the truth we have through Yahweh's love. We are to treat those who come against us with humility and respect, rather than lashing out in either frustration or retaliation. It is with this humble attitude of meekness, being one with Adonai Yeshua, our Moshiach, those who come against us will eventually be put to shame. Shimon Kefa urges us to have a reasoned response to those who come against us. Imagine yourself before a CHRC tribunal, having been accused of making someone feel uncomfortable through your remarks, as happened to Bill Whatcott, a Saskatchewan believer who distributed a flyer in Regina warning against the dangers of gay lifestyles. You are given the opportunity to defend yourself and explain your actions. If this were me, I might be feeling intimidated, afraid, to the point of I might be on the verge of recanting my views, if it were not for the words of Adonai Yeshua, as we read in Matthew 10, verses 19 and 20. But when they bring you to trial, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. When the time comes, you will be given what you should say. For it will not be just you speaking, but the Spirit of your Heavenly Father speaking through you. When I have an important talk to give, it has been my custom to rehearse for hours before I present. When I am asked to speak off the cuff, the only approach I can take is to ask Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living Elohim, to speak through me, which he does. However, we must trust he will speak through us when we are in these difficult situations. You are berated by your supervisor for something you haven't done. You are accused of speaking gossip or libel when it wasn't you. These are just examples of instances of persecution by others. How do we respond? Do we yell and scream our innocence? Strike out against the one who attacks us? Meekly stand quietly, as did our Messiah, as he was accused of blasphemy? I wish all of us has the strength of Adonai Yeshua to face our accusers with meekness, knowing our wrongful persecution will bring glory to the name of Adonai Elohim Tzavaot. But we are not Messiah Yeshua. However, we are given his assurance. When we are facing persecution by any authority, he will have the Holy Spirit speak through us in our time of weakness, as he assures us in Romans 8, verse 26, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness. But why should we want Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living Elohim, speak through us? Why would we trust him to do this? The answer to this imperative comes to us from Matthew 10, verses 26 to 33, wherein we read, "So do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be uncovered, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are powerless to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in Gehinnon. Aren't sparrows sold for next to nothing? Two for an aseron? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's consent. As for you, every hair on your head has been counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me in the presence of others, I will also acknowledge in the presence of my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. What he has taught us comes with the right to proclaim when we are under duress or have need to explain ourselves? Why are we afraid of persecution when we know he is there to receive our nefesh kadoshim, our holy set-apart spirits? Are we afraid of the humiliation which might come when we are accused of speaking truth? Our Messiah suffered more humiliation than we will ever be forced to endure. Are we afraid of the ridicule and rejection by those who oppose his life instructions, his Torah? Our Messiah suffered more rejection and ridicule than we will ever face. But Michael, you say, can you tell us this? You have such a, what seems to me, a put-together life. You seem so calm. For you only knew. Let me share with you. When I was in my 20s, after a long period of depression involving thoughts and at least two trials of suicide, I was diagnosed with anxiety disorder, which I still have. And my beloved can attest to that. Whenever I am faced with physical organization, I literally panic. And she has to talk me down and start moving me into areas where I can get things organized. I have found that when I am facing persecution, which happens quite a lot, that when I stop and I give a silent prayer to Adonai Yeshua, Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, he calms me and I can address the persecution with reasoned discussion. When I am caught off guard, that's when I begin to panic. And that's when I, unfortunately, strike out. You've seen that happen. However, over the years, it is really important to recognize that he has been there more often for me than I have been working in my own strength. Because trying to do this in my own strength, I would fail. And I would not be here today. But using his strength, working through his strength, he has allowed me to move forward so that this condition that I have, this disorder that I carry with me for the rest of my life will be in check, will be held down. Our Abba B'Shamayim loves us, and he cares what happens to us. Listen again to Adonai Yeshua's words. Aren't sparrows sold for next to nothing, two for an asharon? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's consent. If even the welfare of the sparrow is controlled by Abba, how much more so is our welfare in his hands? As for you, every hair on your head has been counted. His love for us is so great, he has taken the smallest detail of our lives into his care. Why then should we be afraid? And yet so many of us are afraid. Some of us are afraid of our own shadows and do not say or do anything which expresses how we are or how we are feeling, for fear of offending others. But when we cower in fear of what others might think of us or what they might do to us for speaking up and speaking out in truth and justice, we are giving ammunition to the enemy to use against us. Adonai Yeshua has concerns for us about this fear of standing firm in him and speaking words in his truth. Let's listen to them again as we read in Luke 12, verses 8 and 9. Whoever acknowledges me in the presence of others, the Son of Man will acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before God's angels. When we do not trust him to care for and protect us from harm to our souls, we are refusing to acknowledge him in the presence of others. Trust is the all-important hinge of our connection with him. If we do not trust, we have no relationship with him. Do we take his soothing words to us to heart? So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Are we afraid there will not be a resurrection? Are we afraid the Tanakh and the Apostolic Scriptures are merely religious propaganda and have no real value for us, diminishing his word to mere fable and folktale? Beloved, each one of us has or will face persecution and discrimination. This is not speculation. This is certainty. The only way we will avoid persecution is if we are lukewarm in our faith. We know how much Adonai Yeshua loves and respects lukewarm faith. Travel with me, please, to Revelation 3, verses 14 to 16, where we find his words to the lukewarm fellowship of Laodicea. To the angel of the Messianic community in Laodicea, write, "Here is the message from the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know what you are doing. You are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Beloved, we come to the life choice we all have to make, either now or at some place to come in our lives. Are we going to be strong in our trust of him to provide for us when we face persecution, or are we going to weaken and allow the adversary to have his way with us? This choice is solely ours. Abba B'Shamayim, we are but frail human beings who are nothing without you. I pray for the strength which comes from your love to envelop each one of us. When we first face persecution for your name and your word, I pray for your courage to infuse our very beings when we are faced with ridicule, humiliation, and rejection, because we proclaim you as Moshiach, Savior. I pray for your love to fill us now and when we are called to account for sharing your word boldly. We are in your hands. Baruch Hashem, Adonai Yeshua. Amen.
know.